And the Honolulu Police Department provided an update on its newest tool, a robot dog. Spot, the $150,000 robot purchased earlier this year, is used to screen individuals at homeless sites on Oahu. HPD says since the start of the pandemic, the sites have taken in more than 1,700 homeless individuals and have had only 14 positive COVID cases. They believe the mitigation procedures put in place and other technologies such as Spot have helped keep the numbers down.
Having the ability to deploy something that can do all the interaction with someone on a mobile platform and take the possibility of transmission out of the equation, for me, I really don't think that over the long term, $150,000 is a waste.
Spot is able to take a person's temperature from 7 feet away in a fraction of a second. It also has two-way communication capability and can deliver PPE, food, and water to someone who does test positive for COVID.
Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. Friday, October 22nd, 2021. Thank you so much for joining me today. Apologize for the delay. We're dealing with some StreamYard issues from yesterday and actually from our interview we had with Sivad today into today and dealing with a private window to make the StreamYard window work, which is quite interesting, which seems to suggest that there's something having to do with me and where I am and who, what we're doing that seems to stop that from happening. But that was the delay. I lost my place there for a minute, but thank you for joining me today. We have some really important stuff to talk about. Really, really important stuff that we've been talking about for quite a while here that we've been discussing and dissecting. But there's some breaking news information coming out today around the NIH, around the Wuhan lab, around Fauci himself, around definitions being changed. And we're going to bolster some things we've already talked about. It will be a shorter show today. We've already talked about the public health of England and how their deaths for people who are vaccinated in regard to the last the people who tested positive after 28 days and then had a death between, I think it was February and September of this year. There are more people who have died who are vaccinated than there are unvaccinated. Very clearly. In fact, it's 63% of all the deaths are people who were vaccinated, fully vaccinated. It becomes 70% when you include people with one dose. There's really no way to hide that information. Well, they're hiding it. There's no really no way to misunderstand that when you see it. But you see the average person out there is not being told about this. And we're also going to talk about today the public health of Scotland and how that's showing you the same thing. Then we're going to show you some information coming from Manitoba where they're admitting to you that there right now appears to be a worse situation for those after being vaccinated in regard to Indigenous people. But none of this seems to matter because we're forcing it on everybody all the time, everywhere, because that's just what they've decided. But we're going to go through the documents and the information and the definitions and what's changing today with you. But before we get into that, I wanted to quickly shout out the interview I did today with Sivad that we put out today. It was actually yesterday we recorded this. Frustratingly enough, something went wrong today and we were streaming the video and everything froze up and there was no audio was glitching in and out. And meanwhile, the internet is streaming flying where we are. There's a lot of these weird issues we've been seeing happen for a long time. Doesn't surprise me. Because somebody like him has the potential to be far, far, far more powerful than just in people, even like myself, relaying information. You know, we've seen the as he mentioned in our interview, the Bob Marleys of the past that have changed the world because they reached people in a way that they couldn't stop. And sure enough, they did try to and ultimately stop him, but it didn't stop his words. Didn't stop the passion that he instilled in people. And that's the kind of thing we see here with the music you've already heard from Sivad. He's standing up for you during this pandemic, during plenty of other situations as well. And he's standing up for you to his own detriment. So it's frustrating to see this continue to happen. But the interview is called Rebel Music, nod to Bob Marley, Counter Communities, and a Call for Unity in the Age of Division. We get into a lot of interesting stuff. We even briefly discussed the conspiracy theory around Bob Marley and his death. But he grew up in Jamaica. Bob Marley was one of his idol. as somebody he wanted to be like, he wanted to emulate as he grew. And I believe he's doing that quite well today. But it's a great interview, and I hope you get into it and understand that there's a lot of people out there fighting for you, putting their own careers in the line to stand up for you. So stand up for them. That's really what this is all about. That's what the rally is going to be about on the 24th. And since I just happened to mention this right out of the gate, I was going to show this further at the end of the show, but just so we can make sure people in the beginning see this as well. Well, it looks like we're, I really hope we are not losing connectivity here. Pardon me, guys. I hope we're not losing. Let me know if we're losing you here. Okay. Well, it looks like we're streaming. Okay. I hope we're not having glitchiness here. But anyway, I wanted to show you guys the rally flyer here so you can come out and check it out if you want. On the 24th, Franklin, 5 points, Veterans Park. Pause that if you want to check it out more. I'll include that in the show notes as well. Now, let me grab something real quick here so I can know what you guys are saying. Everything looks like it's okay in the chat. Okay. Let me know in the chat if you guys are having any issues here today, because it seems like StreamYard is really not liking me these days. Okay. Well, let's continue. It looks like it's working well. Okay. Apologies, guys. It's just my whole computer's freezing on me right now. So bear with me as we piece through the technocratic future that they're encircling us with right now. There we go. Finally. Good Lord. Okay. So Sivad interview, please check that out. Really important. A lot of important things we discuss in there. But the point to take away was, as the 24th and the rally we're doing, it's about supporting the businesses that are supporting you. It's about those around you in the community that are standing up for you, and in many cases, to their detriment. Now, what we started with today was this clip that you saw. Now, you all, the regular viewers of the show, saw me discuss this recently. The robot dog, the Boston Dynamics. It was the same day that we put this out. I believe it was the same day as our previous discussion where this came out from Hawaii. We were just talking about how they were making this kind of quirky image about these little dogs and how funny and cute they were, like real dogs. Right? They wanted to make it seem like it was fun and neat and futurist, except that's not what's really happening. These are already being weaponized against you and your communities and elsewhere around the world. And that was my point then. But then we saw this come out, and it was exactly what we were warning about. This is exactly what we were warning about. Actually, what I'm remembering was the clip we saw of the sniper on the dog. Remember? That was the same day. All of a sudden, they're making it seem funny, and then that same day, the military is like, look at our same thing with a sniper on it that we're going to be using to patrol areas. Now this is coming out and showing you what's really going on. This is a dog that you saw earlier. I'll play it again in case people didn't see in the beginning, that is going to be patrolling for COVID. Right now, what this appears to be is something that can take your temperature, something that can, from super far away, by the way, using a laser. Remember, we just talked about the laser that was able to give you an injection. Remember that? We just discussed this the other day. There's a new device that can use a laser beam to inject you with a vaccine. So I want that. Let's not pretend that that does not become very valid. Now, on top of that, we'll play the little clip here. $150,000 robot. Now, here it is right here. Now, check this out. This thing has the ability to scan you from the beginning, from the front. And no, this thing has cameras and it can two-way communication. I mean, everything. This thing's alarming. This is the technocratic control structure future that we keep talking about. Now, those that pretend like we're crazy for pointing that out are willfully ignorant to every single time this has happened. It is used in the same way against us in controlling our future, controlling our current reality. This is what we have continued to see. It's the same thing we see in foreign policy, where they keep lying and pretending we're doing this for freedom, and then they destroy things. It's the same thing over and over. These things will be used, just like every weapon has been weaponized against us throughout history by people in power. This is the same concept, and it's going to be scanning for COVID now, on top of just making sure you're not a terrorist who speaks the truth that they call misinformation. On top, you can see the top, they have two-way communication, scans, and look, these things have potential for eye scans, facial recognition, all of it. Now, on top of that, realize that just the temperature is the first step. We've talked about the idea of COVID sensors. Now, these are not hypothetical. This is real-world stuff that's already been designed. They already have these things that can detect what they tell you is, the markers they say are representative of COVID in the air or whatever they're talking about. We went over this in a past show. So these are real world. So you're telling me that we're going to have things that can walk around and be checking for this that are eventually going to be, in my opinion, tricked out with some sort of real world sensors. Now you can picture these things wandering through the streets of New York and buzzing all of a sudden when there's an area that they decide is COVID, overwhelmed, too much COVID in the air or whatever. Now, if you think that sounds crazy, you haven't been listening to these people. This is exactly what they are talking about. It is constant. And we've always been telling you, if you're not listening to what they're telling you if you're not really paying attention to the larger story and what they're constantly discussing about the next step, and only listening to what they tell you is what they're doing in the moment, you are being deceived because they keep telling you what's coming. Just like we told you in the beginning, this wasn't going to be over in 15 days and you all called us crazy conspiracy theorists and the reality was always there in front of you. It was never going to stop. This is your future. I'm not going to play it again just since I want this to be short. Watch this again or scroll back to the beginning if you want to see the clip. It simply tells you at the end what this is really going to be doing. And they've already said they've already engaged with homeless people. By the way, the homeless population that seemed to have zero problem with COVID-19 throughout this whole process, because that makes perfect sense, right? We've talked about that a while ago. Now, on some foreign policy I wanted to point out before we get into the main point of the NIH to start, Robert Inlakesh put up a fantastic article today. U.S. vows to respond against drone strikes on their forces in Syria, right? So what this is, I'll just read you what Robert wrote in the beginning, and it sums it entirely. This is perfect. The U.S. government is now seeking retaliation as its right. They're claiming it's their right to retaliate after locations where U.S. forces are allegedly based inside Syria were struck by drone strike. But how can a foreign military illegally occupying a Syrian land, which nobody denies? They claim they have a different version of what that means. Well, we're there because freedom, we're fighting bad guys, that we're justified. Doesn't change the fact that it's illegal. According to the United Nations, international law never changed. So how can a foreign military illegally occupying Syrian land have any right to retaliate when their presence there in that country is in and of itself an act of war? I mean, this is the framing we're talking about. If you think these people don't do the same in regard to your world right now, and that thing going in your arm and the thing on your face and what they believe it's for. If you don't think they're lying to you to achieve their ends this exact same way, you're lying to yourself. These are the same people that are willing to hurt people overseas for their agendas under a frame or guise of doing what's right. If you can't see how that relates to what's happening in your life, I don't know how much more I can help you. This is exactly what they're doing. They're going, here, this is what's best for you. This is what keeps you safe. We're going to make sure it happens. Oh, you don't like it? Well, too bad. It's for your best. It's for your own good. It's for freedom. And forcing it in. And then you get hurt. And all they do is blame somebody else. Oh, it was Iran's fault. Right? This is what these people do. So here we are watching them about to respond as people are attacking them while they're illegally occupying a foreign country. They are the criminals. They are the terrorists. They are the occupiers. This is the entity that is causing the problem. Nobody in this entity we're staring at under the guise of U.S. foreign policy is fighting for freedom. Maybe the individuals within that have been tricked into thinking they're doing the right thing believe that. That's why I often point out that these people, whether fooled or not, to some degree, somebody who believes they're fighting for freedom and puts their life on the line, that should be respected, whether or not they're tricked into fighting for terrible things or corporations or resources. Most of them leave realizing that, and that's why they don't really get pointed to after that, or they get shoved to the side, or now they're all being attacked. Now, or rather, they become the far-right militias that they try to, right? These are the same people. Heroes one day, and then the bad guys the next, because they see the truth. Now, on other quick foreign policy points, I want to make sure, I guess it's not really foreign policy, but more so, I mean, it doesn't make sense to call it foreign policy when it's happening here, but this is your government's foreign policy that is being directed at you. That's what I want us to see, whether it's January 6th or everything else. And really, it was always directed at you. You were always the biggest threat. So here is Thomas Massie pointing something out that we've talked about quite a bit. Now, because this is going to be a shorter show, there's a lot around this that I could dance back into, which a lot of people don't like half the time. Why are you always replaying those clips, Ryan? Well, because there's a reason we want people to see that it's not just about you, one listener. It's about the bigger picture, right? There's a lot of you out there that are here every week, every day. And I love that. But I know you understand when I play something for the 30th time because of the one guy that's not, hasn't been there. The one guy that hasn't seen that all in one flowing thing. That is what we're trying to do, right? Reach those people. And I know you're here to join me to do that. those in the chat, those listening, right? You understand that it's about continuity and it's keeping this picture flowing. Because every day the media mainstream does the same thing. They come right back around and masks work and vaccines great, safe and effective. So we have to keep doing it. So I apologize on that note, just jumped into my mind for those that are frustrated when they see the same clip over and over, right? Frankly, it's too bad. If you don't like it, go somewhere else, right? This is about reaching the new people. And I hope we all see that. Now, on that note, my point was, there's a lot of stuff that we've played a lot around January 6th that we could add to this, but let's just play this clip. Or actually, let's start with the real clip that went out first that I know has been being censored all over the place. Then let's get to what Thomas Massey just said in Congress, where he actually asked directly General Garland about this, and his response might not surprise you at all. But let's start with this clip. As I said, this clip, and then I'll read my comment on it. But let's bring this clip up, because this is actually pretty interesting. For those that haven't seen this, this is a clip. This is from January 5th and January 6th, and it is one guy who, strangely enough, or really completely expected, is one of the most obvious, one of the most flagrant examples of the one of the people that's running around going, "Capital, capital, go in, do this, do that," and nobody went after this person. Nobody's been arrested. Nobody's been on the record with it, except everybody who is even briefly that they can attach to some kind of Republican or something that will work for them has been arrested. Even people that were actually there filming, actually there as a journalist, but of course, because they were a Republican journalist or a right-leaning journalist, well, they're bad guys. Right. And this is me speaking about the two-party illusion. But yes, there are sides that they're playing against each other. They want you guys to fight each other. That's the thing. It's the government of all sides focusing on the right right now. That's what's happening. But they don't care about right or left. We have to remember that. But let's watch this clip, because this is one of the most obvious versions of this. And you've seen the other two about the other FBI agents involved and the fences and everything else.
In fact, tomorrow, I don't even like to say it because I'll be arrested.
Well, let's not say it.
We need to go, I'll say it.
All right.
We need to go in to the Capitol.
Let's go!
So I'm going to put it out there. I'm probably going to go to jail for it. Tomorrow, we need to go into the Capitol. Into the Capitol.
What?
Now, this is important. This is important. For those that watch this show, you remember this. I made a huge point about this guy specifically, the one in the hat that this guy speaks to. You know why? Because he was also up there with Ashley Babbitt at that door, and he was also involved with that whole situation. There's a tie between this whole damn thing. Speaks to him in the ear, whispers to him. And by the way, he'd been going up and down talking to those people, right? So we have to realize that this is an obvious agent provocateur, in my opinion. I don't know how you can see this any other way. And the reason that's even more, in my opinion, obvious is because of what you're about to see next. The fact that they never went after this guy, right? I mean, he's very recognizable. He's in fatigues. I mean, clearly this guy can be found if they found some random YouTuber or random person with no association. All these people got found. Now, remember that the FBI is the one that said there's no ties to these groups. They weren't coordinated. And there's probably a reason why they tried to put that down so quickly, because they were probably the ones involved. Remember, we had FBI agents admitted in two different separate militia groups in leading positions. And they were there that day. That was already discussed. There was also a woman who was a psychological operations agent for the Navy that was there, of course, off job, right? These were all discussed. This is an open conversation. This added to that without being arrested, without being held accountable, which not even to get into whether or not that should be happening, because you know my opinions on all that. It just shows you this is, one, happening, and two, that this is something that they're trying to keep from your view, because this video is only coming out now. If you, first of all, or just lastly, Asian provocateurs, we've written about a lot in The Last American Vagabond, so please check it out. It is a very real, very documented case or action ploy by your government. This is very, it's historically proven, guys. We've seen them many times, dressed up like protesters and even being caught in the act of creating violence, right? Throughout history, this is something that they've always done so they can shut down your protests under a guise that you're violent. Because this is something that even Sivad and I spoke about. The idea that people are driven to violence by the government, by the people in charge, and that inherently as humans, as people, we're not like that. And we don't, most people these days would probably go, nah, that's probably not true, because we're driven to think that. Look at all the wars and the people over there, and they're violent. Well, you know who's ultimately driving these things? The corporations, the governments, the powerful, who are taking advantage of us as they throw us against each other. That's what's happening. Now, sure, people can just be violent. But by and large, the reason our governments try to pretend to do good or try to veil their terrible, sinister actions in doing good for the world is because they at least believe we want good. Which means that ultimately, I think most Americans inherently want good things or want good actions or want to be good people. That's what I believe. And I think that they are the ones keeping us here so they can keep us fighting. Now, going back to this and looking at the next part, and as I just said, if you remember, we specifically discussed that kid in the hat who he whispers to, who is involved at that next stage, right? There's a lot obvious. And don't forget, just on a brief note, that there's multiple examples of the cops letting them by, of the cops being involved, discussing with people very calmly in the middle of the congressional chamber. Hey, man, you mind not sitting right there? Yeah, it's all good, man. Obviously there were people that were hostile. But by and large, most of these people were just milling around, right? So to try to frame this as an insurrection is just ignorant, silly, childish. And the world sees that. It's ridiculous. Now, the next part, as Thomas Massey points out, he says, I questioned Attorney General Garland about whether there were federal agents present on January 6th and whether they agitated to go into the Capitol. Here's how he answered. I'll just play it right here. Let me see if I grabbed it. Yes, I did. Okay, here it is.
There's a concern that there were agents of the government or assets of the government present on January 5th and January 6th. During the protests, and I've got some pictures that I want to show you, if the my staff could bring those to you.
I'm afraid I can't see that at all. Is that a video? All right, you have those images there, and they're captioned. They were from January 5th and January 6th. As far as we can determine, the individual who was saying he'll probably go to jail, he'll probably be arrested, but they need to go into the Capitol the next day, is then the next day directing people to the Capitol. And as far as we can find, this individual has not been charged with anything. You said this is one of the most sweeping investigations in history. Have you seen that video or those frames from that video?
So as I said at the outset, one of the norms of the Justice Department is to not comment on impending investigations, and particularly not to comment about particular scenes or particular individuals.
So before you ask the next part, one might understand why that. I mean, I've never really agreed with the concept that they can always, because they comment all the time when they want to. But that's an easy out for police and different authorities to be like, well, we don't comment on ongoing investigations. Right. Well, sure. I mean, you can understand that too, whether or not you agree with it. Like, there's a logic to it, right? Because maybe it might influence something, whatever. I don't actually agree with that. But for him to say that right there, especially now, like, are we not done with this? Like, is the ongoing, the point is the January 6th investigation is going to go on forever, because it's just, this is the impetus to the beginning of their red scare about white supremacy and Republicans and whatever they're trying to make this out to be, divide and conquer. But his next point is what makes this really obvious, because he then goes, okay, fine. So we're not going to comment on specifics, but how about just a general discussion, not about this? And he says the same thing.
I was hoping today to give you an opportunity to put to rest the concerns that people have that there were federal agents or assets of the federal government present on January 5th and January 6th. Can you tell us, without talking about particular incidents or particular videos, how many agents or assets of the federal government were present on January 6th, whether they agitated to go into the Capitol, and if any of them did?
So I'm not going to violate this norm of the rule of law. I'm not going to comment on an investigation that's ongoing.
The rule of law? What? I'm pretty sure it's not a law that you can't talk about that. So, and guys, you understand that's the attorney general saying that. So I guess somehow misinterpreting that it's a law that he's supposed to not comment on ongoing investigations. That's not a law. So that's pretty stupid. But the point is that on top of that, what did he just do? He just very clearly said he's not going to comment on an ongoing investigation to a question that was, were there FBI agents on the ground? Is that not a yes? So if it was no, well, that he could say no, because that has nothing to do with the investigation, right? No, you interpret it for yourself. Bottom line is he doesn't want to comment, even though the question had nothing to do with an ongoing investigation, unless there were FBI agents on the ground, which, by the way, we know there were. This is crazy. And we have to see how, just like with COVID and everything else, guys, that the reality is just swinging in the breeze right in front of you. It has never been more clear. And never, they are melting down in almost every way. And it's just whether you are willing to look at it. You know, whether you feel inside that I don't want to be a conspiracy theorist, and so you just avoid aggressively what's just smacking you in the face, bending over backwards to avoid or make rational decisions about, you know, rationalize why that makes sense when it clearly doesn't. It's right there. This stuff could not be more obvious. Now, here's a good kind of point to make in general. Like, so someone like a Massey, right? This is fantastic. I believe this is what we would want to happen. But does that ultimately mean that he's doing it for you, for the reasons you want it to be done? Not necessarily. It's certainly possible. I'm not going to pretend that people couldn't find their way into these positions and eventually, you know, do what they think is right, or, you know, some degree. I'm just super jaded and pessimistic when it comes to the reality of Congress and the way our governments work, because it's very, look at what's happening right now. You were really going to pretend like, well, he's the one good guy and everything else everyone's compromised, in my opinion. That's just my opinion. Call me a pessimist if you want. Nonetheless, we should always consider that just because they're doing what we believe that should be done doesn't mean they're doing it for the right reasons. Or maybe I'm wrong and they're all on your side, you know, but we should question is the point. Question everything. Now, jumping over to the NIH discussion, you know, speaking of these illusions, right? Like, this is, if January 6th is anything, it's in the same line of what we're calling COVID-19, right? This is an illusion. Doesn't mean things didn't happen. Doesn't mean that there wasn't some real world action or real people that just got swept into something because they were led by people that were, you know, their job is to lead the mindless people into doing things they shouldn't so they can use it against them. It's an illusion, right? You maybe even say to an entire degree. Some people believe that. Some people believe this is not even happening. And I've made arguments for that. Nonetheless, an illusion is a good word for it. So speaking of these illusions, the NIH, as you might have seen, this is circulating everywhere. I mean, this one's got 4,000 likes already. Jeremy Redfern, this is the first place I saw it, points out, for those that don't know, this is how the NIH defined gain of function on their website until at least October 19th, 3 days ago. Looks like the section was deleted and the page was edited within the last 2 to 3 days. This isn't new. We've seen this with vaccine definitions. We've seen this with herd immunity definitions. Like, this is beginning to be, again, they must not care across the board how obvious this stuff is right now, which speaks strongly to an end game, right? Like, why if they've seemingly been very careful about things in the past, it's like they're just pulling out the rugs everywhere. This is ridiculous and flagrant, and anybody even remotely paying attention is going to go, that's pretty strange. So it makes you wonder why they don't really seem to care. But so first of all, just shouting out his count for pointing this out. Maybe he's even the one that got Rand Paul to talk about it or look at it, possibly. I'm not sure. So I just like to shout out who showed it to us. Now let's get into the actual pages here. Here's the October 19th archive version. Gain of function research, it says right there at the top, involving potential pandemic pathogens. Which is just kind of funny because it's something that we pretend like isn't happening and it's always been happening. And my point on this overarching, as I've been saying from the beginning, is there's no question here. Rand Paul has proven it, but even when he did that, it was already proven before that. people like myself, people like Del Bigtree, plenty of people have been like, guys, this is not a secret. Equal Health Alliance, North Carolina University. I mean, all the way, obviously before 2014, before they pretended to put a moratorium, this was openly done. Then it was outsourced to Wuhan. And even from there, it's verifiable, as you saw in front of Congress, that this is happening. So it's just kind of funny that we're still debating it as if it kind of hasn't been proven. This is this weird false dichotomy we get into. Same thing with the side effects of the vaccines. It's like, guys, this is a no-brainer. So understand that I'm not interested in proving that gain of function. We know that happened. There's no question. So understand that as we go through the next part, which is the NIH admits they funded this. Well, yeah, we all know that. I don't even think they need to admit it, but that is interesting, and we'll get to it in a second. So here's what it said. Gain of function research, very clearly. And it says the term gain of function research describes a type of research that modifies a biological agent so that it confers new or enhanced activity to that agent. Right. So just in case you don't know, it's very, very, very dangerous and very unjustified, according to like half the experts in the world have been talking about why this is not okay and dangerous. People like Dr. Boyle, who actually wrote the foundation over the entire thing for the Biowarfare Act that they still use today. This is bioweapon research. That's what this is. To make it very simple, the argument that you can alter in a lab something that's natural and then make it more dangerous and then make a vaccine for that dangerous thing, as if then that also, that one tweaked thing you did will just randomly, organically happen simultaneously elsewhere, is ridiculous. Right? So what are we assuming? Like what, they can't tweak it 1,000 different ways and you don't, it's that one vaccine for that one tweak and we're going to have it just in case? No, that is a weapon. And then you have an antidote for that weapon. That's what that is. People have just fallen into this altruistic belief that, oh, they're doing what's right for us. Well, clearly not. We've seen this happen over and over. We've seen them have leaks. We've seen them have issues. The anthrax situation ties back to Fort Detrick. Of course, they pinned it on somebody who didn't do it, which is what usually happens. But they've been doing this for a long time. This is weapons research. Now, jumping to 3 days later. Meanwhile, yeah, right, in the midst of all of this conversation where they're going, we didn't do that. Guess what they change it to? Same page. Look, research involving. Oh, dang it. Hold on. Research involving enhanced potential pandemic pathogens. Okay, so it went from gain of function, which is what it's always been called. Okay, so here's the change, and here's what it reads as now. This is actually pretty hilarious. It almost reads as like a defending what this does, as if they almost know they did or are doing something wrong. On limited occasions, great way to start that. We don't do it all the time. It's like, are you feeling guilty? When justified by compelling public health need, so it's because you need it, right? Because we're all screaming, give us gain of function research, and conducted in very high bioscreen laboratories, except they admit that they've had one leak every 3 days for 7 years straight from Fort Detrick, even though they're working on Ebola and coronaviruses and all that. They've admitted to that, right? But super security, NIH has supported certain research that may be reasonably anticipated to create, transfer, or use potential pandemic pathogens resulting from the enhancement of a pathogen's transmissibility or virulence in humans. The U.S. government and Department of Health and Human Services define such research as enhanced potential pandemic pathogen research. Great. So you just decide to change it. I love what it says down here at the bottom, by the way. While EPPP research is a type of so-called gain of function research, the vast majority of gain of function research does not involve EPPP and falls outside the scope of, okay, you see where this is going? So now when they go, Fauci didn't lie about gain of function. It's right there. We weren't doing gain of function. We were doing EPPP. Okay, well, let's see when that started happening. Okay, when did EPPPP or EPPP become something? Well, according to Google Trends, it doesn't exist. Not even anywhere. I've actually never even seen, unless you type in something like just a random grouping of letters, where it says, your search doesn't have any data. That's because it doesn't exist. Because they literally just made this up days ago. And it's not even right. Not even populating on their Google Trends. However, when you look up gain of function, well, you know what you're going to find. You're going to find the examples of how this was been. This is just 2020. You want to go back and make this since 2004, you're going to continue to see the same thing, or at the very least that it's being discussed back in 2014, 2017, 2018, a spike in 2020. Wonder why. Oh, and now it goes way up, right? That is obvious. So we're going to pretend that they just have been doing this the whole time. The whole point, if you haven't caught on yet, is this is a way to hide what they were doing under another name. So when it comes around, the average, the blue checks on Twitter are going to go scream, no, it wasn't gain of function, you conspiracy theorist. It's always been EPVP. That's what this is going to be. And they're going to fall into it because they want to, because they don't want to believe that this has been happening, despite the very obvious evidence, right? To break it down, to make it even more simple, what does it mean, gain of function? You're adding a function. There's also, what do they call it? Not less a function, but something else where you can remove a function, where there's another term for it. Gain of function literally means you are adding something, making it more virulent. It can do something else. It can reach for, it can be aerosolized. That's what that means. So when you just read the definition here, when they're saying we're taking pathogens and making them and enhancing them, then transmissibility, this is gain of function. That's why they even put the caveat down here about, well, it's kind of a little thing, but not though. This is ridiculous. This is obvious, and it's what they've been doing the entire damn time. Enhancing pathogens for their own research and weaponizing these things. Now, moving to the next part of it, this is from today, or technically yesterday, but I've really picked up steam as everyone's posting links to the New York Post article and today, as I'm seeing this circulate. NIH admits U.S.-funded gain of research in Wuhan. Again, why is that a headline? And what's crazy to me is that is the headline. That's what most people are picking up on. Look at that. They admitted it. Everybody, they admitted. Well, that's not news, guys. We knew that. When we prove it, and they've already talked about it, and we know it's been happening, and they outsource it to Wuhan, this is all documented. Rand Paul can open it up in the middle of Congress. I mean, Del Bigtree can talk about it back at the beginning of the year. Yeah, it just kills me that we're letting the mainstream media dictate the level of outrage, dictate the flow of the conversation. We can't keep allowing that. This is not news. We've already known this. Now, the important part of it is they're discussing the letters and the proof here. So I didn't even get into this in general. The point is the letter, the NIH blamed EquiHealth Alliance. Right, so of course it's somebody else's fault, as usual, but they're involved, and we've known from the beginning that they had this information. Right, we've proven this on this show. Even what Rand Paul went over makes it very clear that both EquiHealth Alliance, the NIH, everybody involved was well aware of what they were doing and what that was, whether they want to call it something else or not. Now, here is the actual document, the letter itself from the Department of Health and Human Services. Thank you for your continued interest in the work of the NIH. I am writing to today to provide additional information and documents regarding their grant to EquiHealth Alliance. It's important to state at the outset that published genomic data demonstrate that the bat coronavirus is studied under NIH grant to EquiHealth Alliance, Inc., and subaward to the Wuhan Institute of Virology are not and could not have become SARS-CoV-2. Now, that seems like the point, doesn't it? I don't know why that's a very self-serving argument. It says both the progress report and the analysis attached here again confirm that conclusion. I'm sure it doesn't, as the sequences of the viruses are genetically very different. Okay, so does that then mean that, I mean, we're talking about things changing right now in real time. Delta is about to have another variant of Delta, and we're pretending like it can't be, or that it wasn't altered or changed, or that they manipulated this, and that's so. I mean, that's frustrating that they can just state that as we're seeing evidence that the very least puts out some really valid questions that nobody's addressing. Luc Montagnier in regard to his obvious example as a Nobel laureate of pointing out the HIV inserts, or other people that have said the same. He said, there's no question what this shows you. On top of that, I'm actually not going to read through the whole thing. The point is that they're telling you no NIH funding was approved for gain of function research at the Wuhan Institute of Virology on the 28th. They were lied to. NIH confirmed the EquiHealth Alliance and the Wuhan Institute of Virology conducted gain of function research on bat coronaviruses. Right. So where does this put Dr. Fauci? Is this him being thrown under the bus? It certainly could be, which I kind of expected. Now here's the documents you can go through for yourself. There's a couple of points I wanted to point out on here that I saw, but this is the direct document of the EquiHealth Alliance information, and it breaks down exactly what they were working on. It's worth reading for yourself. What I find interesting is what somebody pointed out in their comments. G4 is human subjects. Now, let's be clear about something. Gain of function research is one thing, but if this is being done on human subjects, I mean, that's like Nazi level stuff. We're talking like Dr. Ishii, Japan, World War II kind of stuff. For those that know this show, you've heard us discuss that. Most people know Nazi stuff, but most people don't know the worst angle of it, which was Dr. Ishii working in Japan. The U.S. government absorbed both of them. They absorbed the Nazi party as Project Paperclip, which is documented information that became the basis for NASA. Of course, they argue they weren't bad guys. They were just the best scientists they had, but they were all on working for the Nazis. And then they had Dr. Ishii in Japan, who was doing some of the most grotesque live human manipulation with biomaterial viruses. I mean, this is disgusting, horrific stuff he was doing. That became the basis for the U.S. government bioweapons program. That's not, I've openly discussed this, and it's all very clearly verified. So here we are, apparently doing the same thing way down the line with very, very highly advanced technological bio manipulation, and that scares the hell out of me. Now, there was a couple of, I mean, you could just see in here the discussions as it goes through about human subject report, basic information, concerning. Does this study involve human participants? Yes. Let's make sure we're very clear on that. Does the study involve human participants? So they're studying gain-of-function research with coronaviruses on humans, and we're not supposed to wonder whether that somehow got out? Now, just understand, that's not even necessarily what I believe is the most obvious foundation for this argument. I don't. I think there's far more deliberate actions happening here. But just think about how silly it is to argue this is just simply not possible while we're staring at a very valid thing. Remember that Fort Detrick, for example, which I argue is probably, there's examples from Wuhan Institute in the same way, Fort Detrick has admitted to those leaks in the past. Remember things like anthrax, these past discussions were as simple as somebody throwing something in a trash can that got out. That's the BSL-4 lab that's supposed to be super secure. One leak every 3 days for 7 years? That's disgusting and alarming. Don't forget, they had their weird little outbreaks all around this right before this all started that they just dismissed with all the same symptoms, with all the same things, the ground glass opacity, which apparently over 60% of people with COVID have in their lungs. Yet we don't connect the things? Something's going on here. Anyway, human subjects, very clear. Lastly here, this says, just to make sure we're clear on this, where it says assessment of COV spillover, potential at high-risk human-wildlife interfaces, right? This was very obvious, concerning, high-risk human-to-animal interaction manipulation. But it's all good, though, because this has nothing to do with what's happening. But Fauci, bad guy, right? That's gain of function. It's all over. He said that. So like that's kind of the way this is going. It's a leak, and it happened. It got out. Fauci's fault. That's not the end of this conversation. But I can sure as hell tell you that's what they want you to think. And it ends right there. He did it. It's all over. Game over. That's always how this goes, guys. That's just like it happened with, I mean, look, with anthrax, Whitney and I have talked about this. She actually had a great podcast recently with Robbie, where the man who, I forget, blanking on his name right now. I know it, and it's just not coming to my mind, who was basically framed, in my opinion, for the whole thing. Was not somebody who actually, in my opinion, was, I mean, the evidence is quite clear. But this is somebody who probably, you know, I mean, think of it like a Gary Webb situation. On that same note, I just had a great discussion with Slow News Day about with his new show on Gary Webb. These people are the framed examples where they get pushed into it. They get, in Gary Webb's case, in my opinion, taken out and then blamed. Right. So if we have a Fauci situation here where he gets all of this laid at his feet, despite the fact that there's 1,000 other people involved in these decisions and something happens or he gets pushed off and all of a sudden that's where it finishes, we're looking at another one because it's never one person. That should be very clear by now. Now, going over to the vaccine mandates and then into the last part here, the last couple parts, primarily the pandemic of the injected, this is what your president is saying. You know, the supposed leader of the free world. And it should upset you because this, it continues to show you how they are openly and rapidly actively undermining the very things they pretend they stand for.
Is that, look, the two things that concern me, one are those who just try to make this a political issue, freedom. I have the freedom to kill you with my COVID. No, I mean, come on.
Look, before we even got to the point when he just said freedom in a condescending way, people already started clapping. You know why? Because, thank you, Jason. Bruce Ivins, thank you for that. He was the person who, in my opinion, was framed for the anthrax false flag. But what's crazy to me is that he just said freedom in a condescending way, and they already started clapping. You know why they did that? because their effort right now is to make the concept of like the stupid Republicans stand screaming about their dumb rights as some kind of ridiculous thing. And like they are making people, this is why I always use the analogy of the government very clearly insinuating in the, with the media and everything else that Iraq was part of 9/11, even though they say we never said that. And even if they didn't say it, they were clearly trying to get you to think that. It's the same thing we're staring at here. Right. They want you to think that the Constitution is archaic and outdated and you shouldn't believe in it anymore while they then swear in using that Constitution. Right. There's an effort to get people on their side to undermine the very things that they believe keep them free in a place where we clearly aren't. Right. This is what he's doing right there. Yay. Freedom sucks. Right. That it's counterintuitive. Watch.
I have the freedom to those who just two things that concern me. One are those who just try to make this a political issue. Freedom. I have the freedom to kill you with my COVID. No, I mean, come on. Freedom. Number one. Number two.
Okay, well, that was a good ending. Come on, freedom. Right. Okay, how about we understand yet again the absurdity of what they're saying? Right? Do you have the freedom to go kill somebody? Yes, you absolutely do. But guess what? There's consequences to come along with that. That's the right thing to say, right? And also on top of that, well, it's morally and you know, it's morally disgusting. You're a disgusting, horrible person if you're going to go murder somebody for no reason. Obviously. The reality is, though, you do. You have the freedom to take whatever action you want. Except today, they're very clearly taking that away from you. No. You don't have the freedom to do things. We give you the allowance to do those things because that's how they want you to think the Constitution works. They don't give you the rights on the Constitution. That's why they're called inherent rights, God-given. When they wrote that out, their point was, you have these regardless of whether we ever write this document. They don't want you to remember that. They want you to see it as them doling out your rights based on what they think is acceptable. That's not freedom. That is technocracy. That's tyranny. That's authoritarianism. We're watching it happen. It's frustrating. Right. But that's why we need to stand up for these things, whether or not you agree with things like the Second Amendment or anything else. It's your right and it's inherent. And you need to stand up for these things or it's all going away. That's why they're chipping away at the wedge issues to get you to think that these things could be altered. That's not how this works. Even people that seem to still misunderstand things like the amendments. Right. Understand that anything since that time that was from the beginning of the Constitution forward that was made that was repugnant to the Constitution was null and void, amendments and otherwise. The point is that most of the amendments, especially in the beginning, like the Bill of Rights, were not repugnant to the Constitution. They were adding to it, bolstering out the points. Today, we see things like writing out bills that literally undermine your right to free speech and acting like that means it's okay. It doesn't. Murberry, and I always forget the other, it's Murberry something, the court case, I believe from the early 1900s, made it very clear from the Supreme Court. If it is repugnant to the Constitution, if it is challenging the Constitution, it is null and void. Doesn't matter if you have an entire government that decides to vote it in, regardless of what you think. Doesn't matter if the entire population votes for it under what the Constitution says, understand. That still means it's repugnant to the Constitution, therefore null and void. We have to remember this stuff. So as he's sitting here going, well, freedom. Freedom, you have the right to the freedom to do this. You do. But there's consequences. And you know who's going to hopefully realize that down the line? People just like him. Yeah, you can do these things. Yeah, you can remove and attack people, right? You can force things in their arms, even though you know it's wrong for them. But guess what, Biden? There's going to be consequences for those things. Hopefully. Hopefully for all of them. Because what they're doing is a crime. What they're doing is a crime against humanity. And we all know that.
The second one is that, the gross misinformation that's out.
Right. So I just wanted to add to that. So just, you know, the misinformation is also, so you're not allowed to share misinformation either, though. Right. Except you are, though. That's the point. You can share whatever you want because that's called free speech. They're changing all of this, though, you see. Now, I don't agree with people who want to share fake things to manipulate people. I think those are bad people and we should all be able to call that out. But you know what? They have every damn right to say what they want. Or another spin of that, maybe they believe what they're saying. Maybe they're right and you're wrong. How about all of that, right? Who cares about any of that because they want you to think what they think? That's where this is going. And as I said, it's great to see the supposed leader of the free world mock the very idea of freedom, medical or otherwise. Please see this for the alarming insight that it is. And this is exactly the point, because this is what it's leading to. Now, I don't think I downloaded this one, so let's take a listen.
It's also, while more and more Canadians are getting vaccinated right now, it's also important to plan ahead for the future. We've reached an agreement with Pfizer for 35 million booster doses for next year and 30 million in the year after. Jeez. This deal includes options to add 30 million doses in both 2022 and 2023, and an option for 60 million doses in 2024.
Wow.
Pfizer has been a solid partner for Canada in this fight against COVID-19, and we're happy to be one of the first countries to secure an agreement with them going forward. These boosters will be the latest version of the Pfizer vaccine based on research and testing, and they will help us keep the virus under control.
Wow.
And the work doesn't end there either. We're on ongoing discussions with other vaccine manufacturers about their plans for booster shots too. While more and more Canadians are getting vaccinated right now, it's also important to plan ahead for the future.
Okay, so first point, this is not going away, right? I mean, there's no way to misunderstand that. And by the way, like we keep saying, it's not even a secret. The people on, you know, the ones that don't want to see it keep screaming that it's all your fault and if we just take your thing and it's all going to go away because they're desperate. They're telling you in real time from every possible angle that it's not going away, that you're going to have boosters every 6 months. That's what's happening, right? And that even in Israel, they're showing you that it's even less than that. It's based, I mean, they're telling you this is going to continue. Australia, Canada, the UK, they are all telling you. So if you're not listening, that's on you. As Ezra points out from The Rebel, Justin Trudeau has signed a 10-figure deal with Pfizer to keep supplying vaccines into 2024. So Trudeau paid for them. So now he's got to use them. Now, there's actually a valid point to be made with that, not even being facetious, like that the Pfizer, these companies like require that, expect him to declare a perpetual crisis, the solution to which will always be injections. But he's telling you that this is good. We're buying boosters all the way, or have the option to, all the way till 2024, because this is going to continue, right? That's not a hypothetical. They've already told you that boosters will be coming and you're going to have to get them after that. And every 6 months, this is not a secret. Keeping going.
We've reached an agreement with Pfizer for 35 million booster doses. This deal includes options to add three and an option for 60 million doses in 2024. Pfizer has been a solid partner for Canada in this fight against COVID-19.
So again, framing Pfizer itself as some sort of altruistic entity. This is a corporation. In fact, one of the most dishonest corporations that I think I've ever seen. That's not my opinion. That's the Pfizer tracker showing you the $4 billion plus dollars that they've already had to pay out for lying to you about things exactly like what we're dealing with today. On this many times. $4.6 billion paid out since just 2000, 71 crimes, health-related offenses, government contracting-related offenses, safety-related offenses, lying about safety consequences, lying about results, lying about, they've been caught for this, guys. Billions and billions of dollars paid out, $2 billion recently with another lawsuit. But who cares though, right? They're a great partner for what we're trying to accomplish.
We're happy to be one of the first countries to secure an agreement with them going forward. These boosters will be the latest version of the Pfizer vaccine based on research and testing. They will help us keep the virus under control.
Now that, guys, is a point that you please make sure you fully understand. The new version. So what does that even mean exactly? Is he referring to Comirnaty? No, I don't think so. But if he was, that's an interesting point because that then seems to suggest that it's different, like we were saying. But I'm pretty sure what he's talking about is the next version from the platform, right? They've altered this thing to deal with new variants and so on. And guess what they didn't do? Safety tests. Because they've been telling you that from the beginning that they called conspiracy theory, but Pfizer was openly saying it. The reason they're making these mRNA platforms plug and play like they keep telling you is because all they do is enter in genetic code and they pump out the new version. But it's different. It's based on something else. It's like making a new vaccine, but no safety tests. I mean, for crying out loud, we had rushed ones with the last one, and how well did that work out? Now we're getting none. Let's see how well that works out for us. This is alarming, and they're already about to use the new version. Does anybody even know that? This is crazy. This is off the rails scientifically, medically. This is why we have so many people standing up against this. Doctors around the world, entire countries, Nobel laureates, PhDs. People see how crazy this is. They're redefining everything. Everything. I said, welcome to your new normal, guys. There is still time to stand up and push back. This does not have to be the world your children grow up in. Stand up. Hashtag I will not comply. Now, this one is just to remember that this is also another person from Australia, another health official telling you it's not going away.
Vaccination, but we're now watching countries like Israel see their cases surge despite high vaccination rates. How important are boosters to maintaining this no lockdown plan, and how soon we need to get them so that we can maintain these freedoms we're being promised?
We need to get used to being vaccinated with COVID vaccines for the future. I can't see that COVID is not going to be with us forever. Maybe in the future we can have even better vaccines and coverage across the world to achieve that. I mean, as a public health doctor, we always want to have diseases go get totally eliminated, but that's not on the horizon in the near future. So booster doses, repeat doses will be part of it. You know, there'll be different advice about different schedules, which doses you get. But at the moment, our priority has to be getting first and second doses into people, and there will be recommendations about booster doses in the future. And I can assure you that the Commonwealth Government has purchased a large quantities of vaccine into 2022, and this will be a regular cycle of vaccination and revaccination as we learn more about when immunity wanes.
Right? Regular cycle. That was just discussed in a recent Guardian article. They're telling you guys every 6 months. That's what's being discussed openly right now. Every 6 months. Every 6 months, you're going to get in a booster shot. Now, if you think that's going to stop, why would they be buying them all the way to 2022, 23, 24? Right? It's not stopping. That's what's happening. Now, what's interesting, I had a point there. Oh, that's right. I was just going to point out, guys. And then this is, I guess it's sort of subjective, but I just have to point something out that I've seen these things in, I mean, even with someone like Miss Levine, right? I mean, these people are some of the most unhealthy looking people that I think I've seen. And these are the people leading your health. I mean, how about I think there's a health minister in the UK that is grossly overweight. I don't understand why these are the people leading your health. Something, she just looks unhealthy to me. Just my opinion. But at the end of the day, it's amazing that we're in a position where these are the people driving and telling you what's healthy. While most, I mean, at the very least, there are people that are dramatically more healthy that are absolutely not in the mainstream. But on this point right here, recognize that there's evidence like this coming out everywhere. The real world stuff. Now, yes, it's observational, so you should consider that. But when you add it in with all the things that we're proving in real time with the data they don't want you to look at, well, it becomes much more interesting, which is what we're going to get into next. Right? The real data. But this is somebody in Israel saying, I live in Tel Aviv, Israel. In the past 2 to 3 months, there's a new constant soundtrack for my life. Every few minutes, I hear ambulance sirens. Tel Aviv is relatively small and crowded. Hospitals are near my house and work. It's nonstop sirens day and night. Very disturbing. Gee, I wonder what that could be, right? What new thing has happened over the last 2 to 3 months that would correlate with that, right? Now, sure, people go, oh, well, COVID-19. Well, if that was the case, why wouldn't it have been happening all from March all the way forward? That's not what we're hearing. This is correlating with the boosters and the aggressive push. And by the way, we've seen that correlate from before that, too. And the doctors have pointed this out, mostly with the vaccinated. They've all been telling you this, but your government and your media hide it from you. This, in my opinion, is perfectly correlated with the injections and the continued and aggressive push that has skyrocketed in Israel. And now, every few minutes, they're hearing ambulance sirens, and that should be the opposite with one of the most vaccinated populations on the planet. But don't think too hard into it, because it's all your fault, unvaxxers. Don't think why. Just realize, you know, I don't want to say 1,000 and mean a couple of them, but there's been a lot we pointed out. Iceland, we pointed out. We pointed out a lot of different countries that are in real time proving to you that having 80, 90% of the population injected, even long before Delta got here, which was what was supposed to protect them, didn't do anything. In fact, they're some of the worst in the world right now. I don't know why that doesn't end the conversation, or how Sweden has never done any of those things and are clearly showing you that that was the right way to go, as their economy didn't get didn't get destroyed by the lockdowns, and people weren't forced to do anything, and they're fine, right? They have one of the best situations in the world right now, and nobody talks about that. Why would that be? It's very disturbing indeed. Now, we shocked about this just the last show. In case you didn't see it, this is the Public Health of England document from the technical briefing 23. And just on that note, real quickly, when you look at the reason we brought this up is because when you look at the new briefings going forward, which you can look at, I'll give you the links for, it's actually right there on the page, they don't list the vaxxed versus unvaxxed information anymore. Now, why would that be? I can show you why. Because right after this document and the one before it, actually, which you can see in the last show, which I'll include here real quickly for you, you will find that the deaths following vaccination are more than the deaths when you're not vaccinated. This is the show right here. And by the way, at the end of this is our discussion with Derek Brose. So make sure you check that out as well. But here it is right here in black and white. Now, this is what you need to show people. I was just talking about this with someone close to me. You know, people, that if you say no, this, that at the very, in some places at the least, there are more people dying who are injected. They go, no, that's just not true. It's fake news, because the news said there's no denying what this shows you. Now, you can even get into the discussions, and I've showed you last time that it's even almost 50-50 when it comes to hospitalization too. But just putting that aside, right? It's not that those things don't matter. Long haul, whatever you want to bring up, even though we don't know yet, those things matter. But right now, what are we ultimately talking about? Protecting life. Right? And yes, those other things do have a factor, but at the end of the day, if you're looking at this and you can see that only 722 people, deaths within 28 days of a positive specimen, total 2,542, only 722 of them were unvaccinated. That's it. The majority, 1,613, were fully vaccinated after 14 days of dose two. That alone is 63% of the total. But then you include the 149, the 17, and 41 from people that just, you know, one dose after, which, by the way, counts. You still have that substance in your body, and it still affects you. That becomes 70%, which Alex Bernison pointed out in his Joe Rogan podcast. 63 to 70% of people are dying after injections, or who are dying with what they claim is COVID-19, have been vaccinated, injected. Now, that you saw this already. For those that watched the last show, here's the full show if you want to watch it. 63% of UK deaths are fully vaccinated. Here is the next part. This is the Public Health of Scotland. Here's the homepage of the document so you can see it for yourself. From publichealthofscotland.scot, Public Health, October 13th, publication date. Here's what it says. This is first. Number of confirmed related, this one first. Let's go to the hospitalizations. Number of acute hospital admissions where individual had a COVID positive test 14 days prior on admission or during their stay at the hospital. Right. So it's reasonably specific, but it still shows you what's important. This is just the last report from the 11th of September to October 8th. Right. So right now we're all being told about how it's all going. This is a good time to reflect on what the peak is showing us from what they're saying. Now, all you really need to focus on is you got unvaccinated. One dose and two doses. Now, obviously, I think we should be combining one dose, two dose. But even if you don't, recognize what it shows you. This is just hospitalizations, right? Remember that their whole point is that you get injected, it dramatically reduces the risk of hospitalization death. But you will still get cases, though. And some may still get hospitalized and die, but it's super rare. Well, that is not what the data shows you. Here it is. Number of admissions, 47. So this is between September 11th and September 17th. 47. Okay, look at the total of just two doses, 414. It's disgusting how they're hiding this from people. 414 people admitted to the hospital between September 11th and September 17th who had both doses, only 47 were unvaccinated. Then there was 13 others that had one dose. So clearly that gets added with this one. But you can keep going down these lines, guys. It doesn't get any better. So from September 18th to 24th. Oh, and by the way, this is 60 years and over. So just look at the total numbers right here. 414, 323, 272, 291. That's two doses from September 11th all the way to 8th of October. Add those all together. That's what you get. And you include the one dose. Over here on unvaccinated, this is the highest risk group, we're told. 47, 47, 36. Okay, let's jump to 30 to 59. A little closer, right? You can see, but nonetheless, still more, is it not? 164 to 161. But the main point should be the highest risk, should it not? You're killing people. This is dramatic. You are, these people who are at the most risk with old comorbidities and dying, 47 of them in that time period, 414 die after two doses, or excuse me, hospitalized after two doses, and we pretend like the majority are unvaccinated. At the, even this one right here, as you get later into this, you can see it goes to 77 and 120. So 77 unvaccinated, 120 with both, and 16 with one dose. From October 2nd to October 8th, 112 both doses, only 72. These are all hospitalizations. Continuing forward, you begin to see that it tapers the other direction. Now, you know why this is happening? From 16 to 29, 45 unvaccinated to 10 here. Why? Because at the end of the day, especially when you get down here, you get lower numbers on the full, the two doses, because there's less people vaccinated in these age groups, right? You have to remember that, right? So there's only 10 people with two doses who were hospitalized in this time period in this age group, but that's because far less people are injected. And then you'll see what I mean when you go down here to this group under 16, where most of these people are not, and it's zeroed out. I think that's pretty clear. But the main point, are we freezing up? I hope not. Doesn't look like it. Okay, the main point is death. Because that's ultimately what this is about. It's not the only thing that matters. Not by far. But it is the primary. And, right? I mean, if we're going to pick one thing that we're trying not to have happen, well, clearly that would be death. Right? I mean, no one denies that except they try to play that game today. Same discussion, except this is September 4th to October 1st. Number of confirmed related COVID-related deaths. Now, isn't that interesting? Oh, is this related? Well, that's ridiculous. They claim everything seemed to be related to COVID today. But, you know, taking it at face value, let's look at this. This is saying the same breakdown. Unvaccinated, one dose, two dose. September 4th to 10th. This is just total, right? There's no age breakdown, which, by the way, is interesting. I think that should absolutely be happening. Because if this is nothing, if not like aggressively different from age to age, excuse me. But here it is. For those in the podcast, number of deaths, September 4th to September 10th, in unvaccinated, 13. Number of deaths, two doses in the same time period, 58. 58. Two with one dose. So 59, 50 or 60. 60 doses, 60 deaths to 13. People who haven't had injections. September 11th to September 17th, 26. 101 deaths. It gets worse as you go forward. September 18th to 24th, they had 29 unvaccinated deaths. Two doses, 121. There is no way to misunderstand this. They are, I mean, guys, that is not just 50%. That's, we're talking, what is that, 30, 60, 90? We're talking like four to five times more deaths in the two-dose category than the unvaccinated in Scotland, period. There, that's what you're staring at. And yet, where is the media representation on this? Where are they talking about this stuff? They're hiding this from you. Now, here's another glimpse into something that they just, this slips out in the middle of a long 50-minute show that I was forced to watch most of to find this. Thank you to Greg Wycliffe for pointing this out in the clip. Sadly, he didn't include the link. Somebody else had to down here. I don't know why we don't do that today. I mean, I do know why, but everybody include the source material so we can all keep fighting this together, because they will dismiss a weirdly taken clip. They'll say it's out of context. They're still doing that anyway. But thank you to Travel is the Best Medicine for at least sharing the link to this, and it helped me find it. So we can just play this in the real spot without playing the clip from here. Thank you, Greg, for sharing it, first of all, because that's where I first saw it. Now, here is the link that somebody shared in the comments. Manitoba expands third dose eligibility to all First Nations people living on reserve. On reserve, yeah. Should that be reservation? I guess that you say it like that. But what's interesting here is the whole thing is, you know, vaccine good, that it's always better, that everyone's safer, except they then say things like the second thing. But listen to this one first. There's two things I want you to hear. This is the first one. The second one is the craziest.
However, fully vaccinated people are making up a significant proportion of cases amongst those who are eligible, and this is contributing to transmission in the community.
That's just an important point to make. Well, because just so you know, she starts by saying right before that most of it is in the unvaccinated, which is that's the narrative, despite what the second thing you're about to hear says, which completely seems to contrast that, but or at least suggest that it should be contrasted. But she says, yeah, it's all over here, but and goes on to make it clear that the vaccinated does make up a significant portion. Well, what is that amount? Well, interesting how we don't get to hear that. And the weird thing about this whole discussion is she keeps pointing the slides, but they don't show on the screen. I don't know why that makes sense. But she says clearly that it does contribute to transmission, which we all know that. You hear in the show, you're like, yeah, duh, we know that. You've been saying it for weeks or months. What's crazy, though, is you can still say that on Twitter today and they'll call you a conspiracy theorist. It's not a secret. Walensky admitted it live on the air, even at the very least in the context of Delta. And that's what they're still telling you is predominantly here. And yet they'll pretend like that's fake news. It just speaks to the social engineering, to the brainwashing that's happening today, that they will refuse to hear it even when Walensky says it herself. But here she is telling you in Canada, Manitoba specifically, this is contributing to transmission, which keeps this thing going. So why then are you allowing them to do what they want? No mask. Come on in. Do your thing. You can, foreigners can come in if they're vaccinated, right? You can come in the restaurant if you got your passport. Why does that make sense? They can still spread it. They can still catch it. They have higher viral load, as many studies have shown you. But here we are because this makes sense. Here's the most important part. This is what Greg clipped out here. Now listen to this.
This slide is showing the proportion of breakthrough cases in the province that are experienced by First Nations people. Keeping in mind that we make up roughly 10% of the population, what we can see is that the proportion among breakthrough cases, hospitalizations, ICU outcomes, and fatalities remains higher after vaccination.
Okay, that you didn't mishear that, right? She just said that among the Indigenous population here we're talking about, or First Nation, however she's framing it, what she's just told you is that in that group, 10% of the population, their risk of all the serious things that they're telling you are not supposed to happen for that group are higher after vaccination. Now, I ask you to please watch the whole thing if you want. Listen to her other points about how she's saying it's safer to get the injection, that you'll be safe if you do, all that. But then says that. Now, at the very least, you should go, okay, so maybe there's something more to this discussion that we need to dive into. No, they just skim past it. And as Greg actually says, Big Tech does not want you to see this clip. Right, it is important to understand the bigger picture and what she's saying elsewhere. But there's no misunderstanding that that group has a higher risk after vaccination, and you're forcing it on everybody. The whole point of this article is about third doses, so they've already been forced. I don't know why you would jump into something like that, knowing that they're telling you have a higher risk. How does that even make sense? But speaking of ridiculous, nonsensical things, here is this. Let's talk about this first. Here is a Daily Mail. Humiliation for Daniel Andrews as the world first study Victoria held up as the proof its masks policy crushed COVID is labeled crap and ridiculed with basic errors by experts, mind you. He's been humiliated after his world first study labeled as crap. Victorian premier mandated masks in outdoor settings during his lockdown. Where was it? The bottom line is, as we'll show you, I think I closed one of my tabs. Well, that's okay. In the interest of time, since we're at an hour 15, you guys know we have debunked this mass discussion thoroughly. And this study, we've already actually pointed to, it's absurd. The reality is that this is not as sound as they want it to be. And actually, this is one of the ones we pointed out, as they try to wave it in the air, and it's subjective, right? It has fallacies. It has subjective comments. It has things they use as observational studies that they then point at as, it's not based on peer-reviewed research, random controlled trial, like everything we're showing you elsewhere. And he just got caught for it. Why? Because there's an agenda here. They want you to do these things. Why? I honestly still believe it's because the mask leads to more illness that they can use to frame as what they're dealing with. That's what's happening, in my opinion, to a degree. But the point is, guys, that these people keep putting this stuff out. They keep getting caught, and it keeps going. As I said, when are government believers out there going to open their eyes to how obviously they're lying at every single turn? Why does this kind of thing not matter to those that are buying what they're saying? How do you walk away rationalizing that the study still makes sense? Probably because you don't even care what the Daily Mail says, because you've already dismissed it because of politics. That's probably what's happening. And they go, oh, well, it must be mass work because I know, because I wear one, right? So you're digging into your own decision. This is frustrating, but they're lying to you, and they're getting caught lying to you. It's a matter of whether you're choosing to pay attention. Now, on some good news to end, here's Slow News Day pointing out, as we see 750 General Electric contract workers walking off their job protesting the mandate, he says, yes, we're winning. And while we're winning, do not forget that the only reason this is happening is because regular people are coming together for common cause and speaking out. Thank you. I got to say, Slow News Day, and Steve in particular, has been coming out strong as a voice of reason and sound argument these days. He always has been. I'm a big fan of what they do. But in regard to COVID, right? Great job, man. I mean, this is amazing to see, and this is what we need to focus in on, that we are making a difference. They are making a difference, and they are terrified of you realizing that you're making a difference. It's time to stand up, guys. And as somebody points out, just that was humorous, I wanted to give a shout out to Mia Zach for pointing this out, right? Anybody out there? There is so much data flying around, guys. There's big things that I'm probably missing right now, that just because there's that much happening. Orwell in the chat is always sending me outstanding things. Half the time, I can't even get to half the stuff she's sending, and she's always sending in great work. Please do the same. Ryan at thelastamericanvagabond.com, right? Anything you see out there that you think is important, send it our way. I might not get to it all, but we will get to it in time and try to get this stuff out for you. So this is just important, right? Because you would think that we'd be like, well, here's Public Health of England, right? It's everywhere, guys. I mean, it is literally everywhere. The point was, this document is what she shared right here. She's the reason we saw this today. Or excuse me, I'm assuming it's a she, Mika, Zach. But to the comment on top of it, I might as well share it. I think this is kind of funny because this is a ridiculous nature we're in right now. Don't forget to take your vitamins today, because mine don't work unless you take yours. Thanks, guys. Excuse me. It's just so stupid. It really is just that dumb where we are right now. Finally, last point, just to leave with you, to leave a little bit of humor with you, sort of facetious or a macabre humor, I guess is the right way to put it, because it's sad and horrific. Brian Deschanel points out on his mug, 2 weeks to flatten the curve has turned into 3 shots to feed your family. Good times. Well, it won't, though, guys. It won't, because we are going to stand up. We are pushing back. They're terrified. And to some degree, I mean, a lot of people don't like when I say that, because they don't think, I believe, guys, that they are, it's not that they don't realize that they're in far, far more powerful and have more control than we do. The point is that we are always what they're terrified of. They know that the only thing that can stop what they're doing is a cohesive populace. If we actually come together and resist in mass, they can't do anything other than act violently. They know that, and that's not going to work when in mass, the people that you're trying to use violence against to control are the ones that you're using violence against to control. The point is, they need a certain grouping of people to comply, just enough, right? We just pointed this out about the UK making this comment, that even in a massive protest, let's say, if they know they have to arrest a certain number of people, they know exactly down to the person how many they can arrest without toppling their system. That was admitted by a government entity. They know that number. We don't know that number, but you know what? Let's err on the side of caution and just be everyone. The more we stand up in mass, they know they have to back down, and we've already seen it happen. Just stand up for your rights, guys. Realize that, you know, mocking freedom and clapping for people that are undermining the very things that you think keep you safe is going against your own interests. We are fighting for you. Right? We are fighting for those people out there, the ones out there that think that they're fighting against misinformation. We are standing up for your rights, even though you don't realize it. We're standing up for your ability to think for yourself. Now, one day that may swing around on a subject that you realize it matters for, but right now you're being manipulated. But you know what? We're going to keep fighting for you anyway. We got to. It's the only thing we can do. So stand up, guys. Now is the time. Now, reiterate that at the end here, guys. I hope you will take the time to come out and join us and get a good shot of it right here for you. I should have just used an image. Activationtour.org/about. That's where you can find the details. If that wasn't clear enough, you can go to the website itself, and you should be supporting Derek's Activation Theory website as well as the Conscious Resistance anyway. Make sure you come and join us, guys, because the main point, you are not alone, and we need people to see that. And when it's more than just not being alone. I still truly believe that you're the majority. I've always been saying that. Today, more than ever, most of the world is still not injected. 40-something percent are injected. You are the majority, and people are pushing back. So join us. Help us push back. I love you all, as always. Question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.
I see all the people led into deception by the very men bound to care, blinded by the promises, unknowingly sold despair. So leave your herd of sheep and follow this shepherd to revolutionary ends. World that you knew has changed around you. It's all become a money game. It's all become a money game. It's all become a money game. Are you ready for? Are you ready for? Are you ready for the revolution? Revolution. The revolution's now. It's happening all around you. If you cannot see, pull aside the curtain and see the war machine. Time for you to rise up and prepare. So arm your fellow man, as it's become destructive to its own ends. The world that you knew has changed around you. It's all become a money game. It's all become a money game. It's all become a money game. Are you ready for? Are you ready for? Are you ready for the revolution? The revolution. Revolution's now. It's happening all around you. If you cannot see, then pull aside the curtain and see the war machine. It's time for you to rise up. Rise up and prepare. So arm your fellow man, as they become destructive to their own ends. World that you knew has changed around you. It's all become a money game. It's all become a money game. It's all become a money game. Are they ready for? Are they ready for? Are they ready for? We the people.